Well, I won't back down.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I'm going to clean up two issues that the callers brought up just before we went to break. Very important issues, and here is my response. One caller said, well, why doesn't the Congress, Senate, and the House of Representatives, the Congress is all of them, so the House of Representatives has 435 members, Senate has 100, two per state, so it's 535 people who are in the Congress. Now, why don't they just pass more amendments? And I think the caller is referring to constitutional amendments. Well, the reason is a couple of things. First of all, you don't want to casually amend the Constitution when you can approach it legislatively or through executive power. And the second thing is, to amend the Constitution requires two-thirds of both houses agreeing and three-quarters of the states ratifying. Can you imagine getting two-thirds of this House of Representatives and two-thirds of the Senate to agree on anything? Can you imagine three-quarters of the states agreeing on anything in the present partisan environment? And then when it isn't as partisan, and for instance, back in the 50s and 60s, you didn't need constitutional amendments, maybe very rarely. The poll tax was one. We had to have a constitutional amendment to stop Southern states from making you pay a tax to vote. My own feeling is we had a fairly stupid Supreme Court. Seems to me all they would have had to have done is to rule it unconstitutional under other provisions, but they didn't. Politically, they passed a poll tax. But the kinds of constitutional amendments the caller may have been thinking of and occurred to me and others is, why don't we pass a constitutional amendment to overrule Citizens United? Why don't we pass a constitutional amendment to overrule some of the restrictions on voting? And the answer is, you're not going to get two-thirds of the House and the Senate and three-quarters of the states. And I think it is unnecessary. The Citizens United was a lawless decision passed by a Republican or issued by a Republican Supreme Court to benefit, they thought, the Republican Party. And all it did is, there are plenty of wealthy people on the other side, and it just, by saying that corporations are people and that money is speech, which we have rejected for more than 100 years in our country, all they did is open it up to donors of both parties controlling primaries. That's all they did. But the way to get rid of it, because you're not going to get a constitutional amendment passed, the way to get rid of it is simply for a new Supreme Court, as it's gradually appointed by Biden and other Democrats, just overruling that case. They can overrule the case. They can overrule it. There's a doctrine called stare decisis, which usually means that if the court has a holding and rules something, it stays in effect. It's sort of unofficially binding on subsequent Supreme Courts. It's unofficial. They can overrule it. They don't like to. What's some examples? Brown versus Board of Education, 1954. They, in effect, tacitly overruled Plessy v. Ferguson, a Supreme Court case in the 1890s. What do I mean by that? In the 1890s, a black man brought suit saying that there shouldn't be a segregated train car in Louisiana. He wanted to ride with everybody else. And the Supreme Court back then said that segregation was permissible as long as there was any kind of train car provided for black people. Of course, it was a lousy train car, had no food, wasn't heated, and so on. Well, in 1954, they made the same argument, the South did, when somebody sued and said that schools should be integrated, Brown versus Board of Education. And the Supreme Court said, no, times have changed. Now we're not going to deal with segregation in schools anyway. And then, of course, it got extended to everything else. Well, what I would do if I were on the Supreme Court appointed by Biden, I'd look at Citizens United and say, it's a lawless decision. It was passed by a Supreme Court that ignored stare decisis of other Supreme Courts, and even the Congresses themselves in the 20th century had stood by the proposition that corporations should not be able to give money and there shouldn't be black ops, dark money, and just say it was a lawless decision and overrule it. That's what they should do, because you're not going to get three quarters of the states. You're not going to get two thirds of the Congress. And then the other excellent point made is on the minimum wage. What do we do about the minimum wage? Well, what we do is we raise it to $15 an hour. Now, the caller was an independent, but has voted Democratic recently. But a lot of them, a lot of independents, very properly are concerned about economic issues. I point out that the minimum wage in 1968 in present dollars was over $10 an hour in present dollars. It's dropped $3 an hour since 1968. So anybody in his right mind would raise it to over 10 an hour. And if you're worried about restaurants and some of these people, inevitably what happens is you raise your prices. That's what you do. And you certainly scrutinize Walmart and the big boxes that are giving people $8 and $9 an hour and sending them to school to learn how to apply for welfare benefits, for food stamps and Medicaid, and perhaps tax them. That was a good idea. But I think you got to get cash. Cash. People understand cash. Cash is king. Get cash in the form of wages. It boosts morale, and it gets people incentivized. And then for small mom and pop little restaurants, say anywhere in Wisconsin, Milwaukee, Madison, or rural Wisconsin, there are other ways of getting assistance to those small restaurants, the owners who themselves aren't making a lot of money. Okay, another development that's occurred, unbelievable as usual, unbelievable out of Texas, unbelievable from a Republican judge. Some jamoke down there, a Republican Texas judge, just ruled the Affordable Care Act unconstitutional. It's pending in the U.S. Supreme Court right now. Who does this guy think he is? He just writes flat out, goes, well, no, it's unconstitutional. His ruling will affect about 20 million people if it's not overturned. Well, what they've got to do immediately, and they will do immediately, is go to the Court of Appeals and say, freeze it, stay it. It's called STAY, stay it, for a couple of reasons. First of all, it's a nutty decision and it's wrong. But secondly, who do you guys think you are? The U.S. Supreme Court has it right now. And most of the observers of the Supreme Court say they are not going to hold it unconstitutional. They're not going to hold it unconstitutional because, and I don't want to get too much in the weeds on this, but they held it constitutional once before. It's okay, because they said the penalty for not getting insurance was a tax, not a fee, and Congress has exclusive taxing authorities. 5-4, Roberts went over with the liberals. Then Ruth Bader Ginsburg died. Amy Comey came in, conservative, and everybody's licking their chops in the right-wing sector going, well, you know, maybe we're 6-3, and even if Roberts defects, maybe we can. First of all, why do they want to stick a knife in the Affordable Care Act? Why do they want to do it? There's a lot of people in this country, millions, tens of millions that use it. And many of them are in rural areas. Many of them are Trump supporters. We're all Americans. I don't care who anybody voted for. The ship I served on, the Navy, there was overwhelmingly guys from rural, and back then there were no women in the fleet, in the ships. There were women back then in the early 70s, late 60s, who were terrific patriots, nurses, and so on. Now it's open to everybody, which it should be. But the guys on my ship, no one said, are you a Democrat or Republican? Are you urban? Or who cares? I don't care. They were from every state in the country. But the Republicans are determined to stick a knife in it because they think that the majority of the people that use it either don't vote at all or probably don't vote for them. So the heck with them. Stick a knife in them. Bump them off. I mean, really, that's the effect, because, you know, it's not just obviously if you're in a car accident, you're going to get taken to a hospital. But what if you don't go in for mammograms? What if you don't go in to have your blood pressure checked? You're going to have a lot of people who don't have medical care die of breast cancer, prostate cancer, heart attacks, and strokes, and they'll die younger. And the Republicans don't care. Anyway, to get back to it, some Republican judge, some idiot down in Texas goes, oh, this has been in the news and this has been in the courts for about 3 years now, and I think I'll get famous. I think I'll stick my 2 cents in. Well, he's an idiot, and we don't want his 2 cents in there. They got to appeal that to stay it. And if it's probably going to go to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, that's headquartered in New Orleans, but it encompasses a lot of the southern states. And they're very conservative, but if they don't come correct with some respect, go to the Supreme Court and you simply say, look, these people down here are getting a little big for their britches. They're getting into your action. You're doing this. You decide. And I think the Supreme Court would say, hold your horses, everybody. We're going to issue a decision. It's already been argued, and they should come out with a decision in the spring sometime. Anyway, but stand by. If what I described doesn't happen, 20 million people in Texas and that area that are subject to the jurisdiction of this judge are going to be without medical care. And that's a very, very serious thing. They're going to get bumped off, some of them. Okay. The next thing, and this is something that I was very, very glad to see, very glad to see. They have put in nominations for the Nobel Prizes for 2021. And one of the nominations for the Nobel Peace Prize is for the Black Lives Matter movement. And I think they have a real shot at getting the Nobel Prize. And I am delighted. I think it's exactly right. We have a circumstance in this country right now where essentially 99% of police officers are good people. They like their jobs. They don't want to get killed. They're not going to put up with any baloney from people who draw guns on them, but they don't like to strangle people who are unarmed. They don't like to shoot people in the back. They don't like to kill. There's 1% maybe who are essentially sadists or people who the ultimate thrill is to hunt a human being and they can get away with it legally. And why can they get away with it legally? Because voters are chicken. And the minute a DA somewhere charges any officer, even for shooting an unarmed man in the back or strangling him, you know, Eric Garner, for instance, out in Staten Island, they go, well, that DA must be anti-police, and then they vote him out. And so nobody who stands for election can possibly charge any officer for killing anybody on duty, and no matter what the circumstances. And I don't like the position of the authoritarian left who say, well, why don't we casually go after officers? Because I don't want a 25-year-old officer, the wife and two kids, walking in an alley and some guy flashes something at him. I don't think he should sit there, have a philosophical discussion like, what would Aristotle and Plato do about this? I think he has to defend himself. Absolutely, I'm with him 100%. But the handful of people who strangle and shoot in the back, no. And that has to be stopped. And Black Lives Matter has channeled constructively the anger people feel over the murder of Eric Garner and the shooting of Jacob Blake and George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and the many more. They channeled it constructively. They marched, they protested, they should have. They were on the up and up. They did the right thing. They channeled it easily, could have spilled over into violence. A lot of the violence of those protests, some of them were simply Proud Boys who snuck in, pretended they were Black Lives Matter and broke windows. And frankly, some of them had nothing to do with the Black Lives Matter movement at all. So good for Black Lives Matter movement. I hope they get the Nobel Prize. The lines are still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Will stand my ground and I won't back down. No, I won't back down.